tonight. How many really had that testimony? You can't make me doubt God because I know too much about Him. Tonight, you can't make me doubt. I've seen God do way too much. Amen. To start doubting Him now. So we bless the Lord. We thank God for my wife. Bless her for life, health, and strength. We thank God for all of you. This has a hand praise. Hallelujah. For our gifts of a hand praise for being in the house of the Lord. Amen. Peter, James, and John told the Lord, saying, it's good for us. It's good for us to be here. And we bless the Lord. Let us stand tonight for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 2 Peter chapter 2. Amen. We're going to read together verses 1 through 10 of 2 Peter chapter 2. And our message that we're delivering, we want to deal with tonight on Sunday. We went over the fact that if we be still, the Lord will what? Fight our battles. Amen. As sometimes we get involved with battles, and God wants us to just be still and let the Lord fight our battles. Amen. So tonight we want to deal with God will deliver you. How many want deliverance? God will deliver you. But you must obey. Amen. God will bless you doing it your way. Amen. So we're going to start off in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. If we have it, can we say amen? And for those who do not have it, it is on the screen. Verse 1 reads, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be, by what the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise. How do they let nobody make merchandise of me? Hallelujah. Whose judgment now their own time lingereth not, and their damnation sorrowing not. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just as with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul for deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of His word. And the church said, the word of the Lord is blessed already, and you may be seated. Amen. Tonight we're dealing with the fact that God will deliver you. But there is some things that we must do to obtain deliverance. God will not bless and deliver us in disobedience. God blesses obedience. Amen. The scripture that God knows how to deliver the who? The godly out of temptation. Amen. Many times we feel as though when our backs are against the wall, we have to do it our way. Amen. But there's only one right way that counts, and that is whose way? God's way. To do God's way, you have to be obedient. Amen. So the scripture says in verse 4 of this same chapter, If God spared not the angels, then sin means to disobey God. And we know in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, I believe it says, every sin and every disobedience receives a just recompense of reward. In other words, you reap what you sow. So if you walk in those disobedience to God, you reap disobedience. If we walk into obedience, the Bible says God will bless us. Amen. Can we go to Exodus chapter 15? I just want to read one verse of scripture. On Sunday, we went over the fact in chapter 14, God delivered his people mightily. Amen. When the enemy got too close, amen. What am I like about this? I was laughing. My wife asked me why I was laughing when I went home. I was like, I would like to have seen those 600 chariots. I'd like to see the look on those guys' faces when all their wheels came off at one time. You know, I said, man, that must have been hilarious. All right? Now, in one chariot, how many chariots? 600 chariots. All the wheels came off at them. I would have liked to have been pink on that scene. Just to see what expression they had on their face. They said, wait a minute, something's wrong. Now, we can understand that one wheel comes off, but all of them came off at the same time. But you know, this is how God delivers. Now, we know the scripture says, we're going to come to this. Now, the scripture said that God led them by a pillar of cloud by day to protect them from the sun, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light. Right. But when the enemy got too close to them, if you read that, there was a pillar of cloud that was in the front. Well, when they got too close, what did God do? He moved. The Lord moved that pillar of cloud from the front to the back so that the Egyptians couldn't get too close to his people. So at the same time, God was darkness to the enemy, light to his people. That's the kind of God we serve. So he was in the front, but they were getting too close, so he moved to the back. So that makes you know, when you don't live right, God will keep you in darkness. But if you live right, God will give you light. So the scripture said, all right, long. Now remember, the Egyptians were on horses and chariots. In those times, that was what was considered a mighty army. If you had a chariot, because that was a sophisticated, modern army. Right? All the Egyptians had were their feet. Right? They didn't even have weapons. Like when God brought them out of Egypt, they didn't have a weapon. So this is why when they saw the Egyptians coming close, they're like, what are we going to do? We don't have any. Hallelujah. But if God is your weapon, if God is your deliverer, the scripture said there is no weapon that is formed against you that shall. Now a lot of people get that mixed up. That means they think that there's not going to be a problem. He said, no, it's going to form against you, but it's not going to prosper. Why? Because God's going to be with you. So God moved from the front, and he moved to the back. Can you imagine all night long, they're riding on those chariots, where in the world they go for the whole night? And they couldn't get close, right? I'm like, man, I was just like, somebody just needs to put that in the movie. They got to put that in the movie. 600 chariots, because they could see them. Remember when the Israelites saw them coming? That means they had to be what? Close. But when God wants to deliver you, he only lets the enemy get so close. So all night long, they didn't get no closer than that. Why? Because God was shielding his people. That makes you know that God knows how to deliver. Now, why not have a recall? Remember what God just did for us. Remember how God just delivered us? But instead of seeing the blessing, they began to burn it. Right? And the scripture Paul says, with men and God were not well pleased because they were overthrown in the wilderness because they murmured, and that's not God's way. Amen. God does not expect us to murmur and complain. Maybe it's not what we want it to be, but thank God it's better than so many others have. So verse 24 reads, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast into the waters, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters remained sweet. And then he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and then he, God tested them. After the deliverance, God still will test you. So he tests them, and he said, if thou wilt, God said, I don't need you to just halfway, half-heartedly hearken, but if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in whose sight? His sight. Amen. And will give ear to his commandment and keep. Listen, that means God, and you have to do what? Obey him. In order for God to bless you, in order for God to deliver you, you have to obey him. He said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, what do you have to do? You have to obey him. Amen. The Bible says to obey is better than to put your own personal spin on what God did. So now let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Once again, we're dealing with the fact that we have to do what? Obey him. Verse 9 reads, the Lord knoweth how. We don't have to give him instructions. We don't have to tell him how to do it. Because the Lord what? Just like when Israel got to the Red Sea, I'm sure they couldn't figure out what to do. That's why they began to murmur and complain to Moses. And what did Moses tell him? He said, just stand still. You know, every once in a while when you're dealing with somebody, you need to just stand still. Stand still is another way of saying, pretty way of saying, depart. Because you ain't supposed to say, shut up. Right? You don't talk to me. All right, maybe you're not supposed to say, shut up, but not in Brooks' house. So you have to tell them what? Be quiet. God told his people then, be still and know that I'm God and know that I know what to do. Because I know how to deliver. We lose so many blessings because we murmur and complain. It's not this, it's not right, that's not right, amen. The Bible said in everything we are to do what? Give thanks, for this is so. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What? Give thanks. It may be the, hey, let's go to Habakkuk for a second. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 3 for 1 second. Let's just go over this. We got to learn to thank, praise God in the middle of it. Amen. Even when things aren't looking fine, can we just praise him? Amen. Can we give him a word of thanks? Hallelujah, because it can always be that much worse. You know, last week and the week before, they had all those earthquakes and floods and devastation, and you just watch it. And then instead of us praising God and thanking God for what he's done, sometimes we have the tendency to complain. But I believe I'll praise the Lord for how good he has been to me. I'm going to thank God in the midst of it, because it can always be that much worse. Amen. 3, let's go to verse, let's just go right to the real deal. Amen. Let's go to verse 17. And we're talking about in a builder, man. All before this, he's talking about all of the problems, the terror, the discomfort, everything that was going wrong. Amen. But verse 17 reads, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of honor shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. He said, yet will I what? In spite of it, yet will I rejoice. I just wanted to let, can you still rejoice in spite of it? He said, yet will I rejoice. I will what? Joy in the God of my, God in my deliverer. In spite of it all, I'm still going to have joy. In spite of it all, I'm still going to rejoice. You got to rejoice, Paul said, and again I say, rejoice. When in spite of it. Amen. Now let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, but and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be what? Punished. But it does not end there. He said, but especially, chiefly, especially them that walk after the flesh, right? Because they're not walking in obedience. They're doing what they want to do. How? After the flesh. Amen. They're the walk after the flesh and uncleanness and despise government. Chiefly those that are self-willed. So what is the inhibition of what prevents us from doing what God wants? We're being self-willed. He said, how? But who? Chiefly those that are walking after the flesh. To walk in the flesh, we will what? Self-will. Amen. Now let us go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 1, I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to skip what I'm going to do. Let's just go straight down to verse 8. All before that, he's talking about the stuff we need to add to our faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, brotherly kindness, and he goes on and so forth. He's talking about adding the fruits of the Spirit to our walk. Amen. We need to have the fruits of the Spirit in our walk. Then he says, verse 8, for if these things be, what? If the fruit of the Spirit be, if it be what? In you, and they can't just be there and be dormant, but they have to be active, they have to be alive, they have to be thriving and about. I'm so glad when you live right, things get made that right. Yeah. Right? They make you, you should not even be barren nor unfruitful in the body. Listen, they got to be women in you and they have to abound. That means you can't just talk about it, but you have to also live it. Amen. We can talk a whole lot of salvation. But how many know it takes more than talking? We also have to walk. He said, if they be in you and abound, they will. So I said, the whole enemy is coming against me. God said that he will make you, that you may not be unfruitful. Amen. That means that your life will have fruit, and they will remain. He said, but now I know you ladies know all these fruits of the Spirit, right? I wonder, when we come to church and when we even attend special meetings, how much do we take back of what we hear? Amen. I'm trying to make it a habit. Wherever I go, what I listen to, I go back and I follow that up. Matter of fact, when Bishop Campbell preached from Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, I had never heard of that before. So guess what I did when I went on? I read the 21st and the 22nd and the 23rd chapter. Right? Because I want to follow up what I've heard, so now I get it in me. Right? We go places, we hear All right, so it says those fruits, the things that help you get closer to God. Now, what it does with first is what you can't see. After the faith, virtue, the virtue, knowledge. Then after knowledge, you have to add efforts. That's the things you can't see. So a lot of times we work on the stuff that people can't see, but it's the hidden stuff in our hearts that we don't work on. We need to work on that hidden stuff, and then God can do it. He said, but he that lacketh, if you don't have all the fruit, he that lacketh things is what? Blind and cannot see. Someone that has a spiritual prayer life, and he said, wow, God is such a blessing, and I can see. But when you're self-willed, hallelujah, when you're not letting the fruits work in you, it says you are. You're blind. Amen. It can be happening right in your face, and you don't see it because you're blind. You cannot see a fall like he had. Hey, you ever see people? You know, you get saved. You know, when I got saved, before I got saved, I had a whole lot of stuff that followed me up. Even after I got saved, I had some stuff that followed me up. So when I deal with people, this is me personally, but I gave y'all a book. I know y'all read it from Dale Carnegie. Most of y'all probably is collecting a little dust on the shelves. I ain't gonna put it on my little spot. And ask y'all who read it. I bought the book and then I made like 30 copies, but that's right. But I learned through reading Dale Carnegie, sometimes you have, I know everybody, I ain't just gonna raise y'all hand, don't say nothing, don't condemn yourself. But it teaches you how to deal with people. Because when it teaches you to stop looking at things your way all the time, and see it from the other side. That's what it teaches you. What did I say? And I deal with people, I remember the stuff that, anybody have a little bit of mess y'all when you first got saved? I don't know, a lot of y'all young people don't have it. Older people have some mess when you got saved. They had to come out. Some mess, some stuff. You know, some idiosyncrasies and all the crazy stuff had to come out. Remember that stuff? You know, like when we first got saved, we had all of us constantly, we had some matters. Like some were there, some weren't there, some were trying to force to make people do something. So we had stuff that had to come out of us. So now when I get saved, when I'm trying to get somebody else, I remember all that stuff that I had that was in me, that somebody had to work to help me get out of me. So he says, they have forgotten, right? Blind and I see a fall and forgot that they were purged from all another stuff. So when I'm dealing with somebody, I'm going to remember I had some issues when I got saved. Amen. Because the Bible says we ought to desire the sincere look of the word that we made. Grow thereby. Because when I'm born in grace, we'll be grown in grace. Amen. So when you're dealing with people, all those who down. He said, well, verse 12, let's get down to verse 12. He said, wherefore, I was not being negligent to put you always. Every once in a while, we just need to take some time to remember what God has done for us. Remember those little idiosyncrasies, the challenges that you had? Amen. I can't use examples because y'all are trying to figure out where they are or who they are. So I'm not going to use an example, but just remember some of the stuff that God did the work to get you where you are. Then when you work with somebody else, say, wow, that's what I used to be. But look what God has done for me. But if you don't have God's spirit and God's love in you, you will forget. You will forget what God has done for you. All right? I will not be to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye should already know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think indeed, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in. We got to remember what God has done for us. Remember the ways we were out. Even since I'm not being strong, I remember how God has changed a lot of me. Right? So when I'm living with others, I can't deal with them like I'm Mr. High, Holy, Holy, Holy. Because I remember the stuff that I had to get straightened out. Right? So I can't look at somebody else and turn my nose up like I have a mind and I'm all spiritual and I'm all this and I'm all that. Because I got some stuff that I take time to remember. If I remember some of my stuff, right, that God had to give in me, work in me, work out of me, then when I'm dealing with somebody else, I will have more patience. Right? I won't be so fast. But so Paul said, you know, it's so important that I put these things, help you to what? Remember. Put you in the remembrance. Knowing that surely I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to still have these things in. So when we come to church, remember. But what do we do when we leave church? And do we still have these things in? And remember, for we have not followed commonly devised fables, for we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when they came, such as was to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am. Lord, just tell me the will of peace. That's all. We should all live in desire to hear God say, I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, Moses and Elijah, he said, but hear ye him. Right? This is what they're talking about. So we have also a more. Paul said, listen, if we just hold to God's word, we have a more sure. It's not a doubt. Amen. Listen, somebody say it's a sure word. It's a sure word. Amen. Let me even hold on this and bank on it till the end. A more sure word of prophecy. Well, do you do well? By your will, self-will. We all need some type of deliverance. And you cannot get it being self-willed. You cannot get it on your way. And most of all, you cannot do it by taking the scripture and twisting it to fit your situation. That is a private interpretation. That's why so many people are so confused when people are taking the word of God to make it fit their situation. Amen. I heard the scriptures and let God be one. Let God be true. And every man a liar. Peter and all the apostles told him when they threatened him, they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Tonight, I'm just wondering, who is him a greater influence in our lives? Is it God or is it man? Man does not always mean the outer man, but it also means the inner man. The inner man is so self-willed, it always wants to express itself. Amen. Psalm 34, verse 1 reads, when David changed his behavior before Abimelech, he said, I will bless the Lord at all. I will bless the Lord at all.
So I went from 89 to 99. That's a lesson. I will not
That's why we were on the seas. made us eat lunch and all the things, good thing. Come ye children. Hearken to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord, the righteous. Put on to verse 17. I didn't skip down. We only got a couple more verses. Then we're going to be finished. That's the whole thing. The righteous cry of the Lord. What makes us righteous? What God tells me to do. If I do what God tells me to do, not what I want to do, not what I feel like doing, I don't have a spiritual support as well, but I take what I like and what I don't like, I'm gonna take it. I take it all because it's all that God gives me. The righteous man of the Lord, hear it, and the righteous. I don't get anything. The Lord don't have to live with God who makes them righteous. The righteous man of the Lord.
Because the joy of the Lord is our strength.